These are IMC Krems International Business Students on Air.
Welcome everyone. We are Natasha,
Eduardo
and Emre.
And we are master students from the IMC Krems. Today we will talk about the sports sector and the effects of COVID-19 on its financing. We also have a special guest today, whom we will introduce to you after the findings of our research on the topic and who will provide a better understanding of the basketball league in Austria. Generally speaking about the sports industry, there are more or less popular sports and furthermore even major and minor leagues within the different kinds of sports. So, Emre, how should we analyze the sports industry?
As the theory from the 1960s by Walter C. Neal states, every sport is considered a natural monopoly. Not the company owning the team is the firm in this regard, but the league itself. This means that all the teams are just products of the leagues, so to say, which leads to a more league-based rather than team-based thinking when analyzing the sports industry. We notice that this theory still seems to be applicable in modern times and kept this in mind for our angle on the topic.
All right, we have established our league-based thinking now. So what do we need to consider with regards to financing in sports?
It is very important to have a deep understanding of the key stakeholders involved, as each of them have different objectives and their behavior can impact on the others and in the sport itself. Some of the most important stakeholders are the teams that expect profits, the fans that seek outstanding performance, and the investors that expect return on the capital they delivered. Therefore, generating outstanding sport results and securing financial stability are very interconnected and within a so-called feedback loop.
Can you go into more detail on the feedback loop?
Sure. Two researchers in Poland, Otski and Pleskot, analyzed the effect of the feedback loop on a Polish basketball team. The findings have shown that securing financial stability means having strategic sponsors and a diversification of sources of revenue. When you then have higher income through those partners, you can purchase better players and then further improve the performance of the team. Those better results will then bring in more supporters or fans, as well as more publicity to the club, which will in return attract even more sponsors and partners in the next season. The same effect can happen also in the opposite direction. A team that is profit-driven could decide to sell its best player for economic reasons, which could affect the team's performance. This could have a negative impact on the fans who may stop supporting the team, and this could result in the loss of sponsors.
So, just to summarize, we have the teams, the fans, and the investors as our key stakeholders. Are there any other stakeholders to be considered?
Yes, also important stakeholders are the media, which is a great source of diffusion, and the governments, which are essential in some cases because of the support through subsidies or tax exemption for the teams. Finally, we must also consider the rest of the industries surrounding sports, such as sports facility personnel, sporting goods stores, restaurants, and so on.
Okay, as we understood, all these parties play a major role in the financing of the teams. What does this mean for the teams themselves?
A sports club has a wide array of financing necessities, starting from its players' salaries up until the maintenance costs of its stadium or even the production of merchandise. For that, the teams need a well-thought-out financing strategy on how to stay afloat in such a highly competitive industry. If we take a closer look on Germany, which is a neighboring country, has a more distinct and established sports industry, we can see that most leagues have a combination of ticket sales, sponsoring, and media revenue as their revenue sources. For example, the biggest revenue source for the basketball industry there is sponsoring, which makes up 66% of the revenue. On second place are the ticket sales and match revenue, which is still a whopping 20%. The rest comes from the media. However, important to point out here is that not only are those classical financing strategies in place in the sports industry, but more modern approaches such as crowdfunding as well.
Oh, crowdfunding, that sounds interesting. Can you tell us more about it?
Generally, there is not much crowdfunding taking place in the sports industry yet. Nevertheless, whenever there is a donation to a sports club, it is a higher donation per capita compared to other sectors such as startups. The reason for that is the strong emotional involvement of the donors, which are the fans and supporters of the club. Another reason is that they preferably use an all-or-nothing funding model, which seems to be more convincing to sports investors than keep-it-all models. The result of the crowdfunding campaign is the increased engagement of the fans and the promotion of the club to a wider community while gaining new investors.
Financing seems to be more important now than ever with the lockdowns and restrictions placed upon sports events and public gatherings. So, looking at our current situation, how did COVID-19 affect the sports industry and its stakeholders?
Generally speaking, according to the World Economic Forum, the global value of the sports industry was estimated to be $471 billion in 2018, an increase of 45% since 2011, and before coronavirus stopped play, the only trajectory seemed to be upwards. In the current situation, every part of the sporting value chain has been affected, from athletes, teams and leagues to the media that broadcast and cover games. To give further examples, the effect of lost ticket and concession sales are especially pronounced for individual sport athletes and other sports that do not have a substantial media deals, which also applies to basketball clubs in Europe. With tournaments cancelled, players lose out on prize money and sponsorships, while events suffer from lost broadcast and streaming revenue.
Have sports clubs found ways to handle the situation?
The sports industry was forced to re-examine the ways and requires in the future more flexible strategizing to get through. Sports clubs are temporarily restructuring the business to maintain enough cash to remain afloat. They will be interacting with employees, commercial counterparties, sports bodies, governmental authorities, and other stakeholders. There will be long-term implications for each relationship from any short-term decision that are made now.
I assume that bigger clubs will have stronger financial backings, such as investors with deep pockets and sponsors. However, what is the situation like for more local and smaller clubs?
Due to the pandemic, most of the games had to take place without spectators. Smaller clubs have felt the effects much harder than bigger clubs that could at least get the revenues from the media, which could broadcast the games online and on TV. This widened the gap between major sports and minor sports, and the inequality between the different sports increased. Bringing back the example of German sports industry, except for football, all other sports are more dependent on the sale of tickets and real-life audience and have therefore had bigger revenue losses. Through this development and the shift towards online broadcasting, the emergence of esports has become more apparent.
So it is time for us to present our special guest, Fabrizio Bai. He is a professional basketball player with more than 20 years experience, playing in 7 countries, in 3 continents, South America, North America and Europe. He has represented the Argentinian national team and last year the 3-on-3 basketball team in Austria. He has played also the pre-Olympics for Tokyo 2021. So Fabrizio, thank you very much.
Hi Eduardo, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the structure of the basketball leagues. So could you please explain us how was the structure in the different countries where you have played?
Well, the structures are quite clear in some countries, as for example in Argentina, where the federation is responsible for everything that has to do with national teams and youth development. And on the other hand, you have the league. That is the professional leagues that sometimes it takes the first league, the second league, and the third league. Another modality, so to say, is what is happening right now in Austria. They decided to change the concept where the league and federation were divided and the federation took control of the league. I think that is a very positive way to develop basketball, as the federation has an overlook in everything that's going inside the country. So they can take control of the national teams and the development of the player at the same time during the season. So I think that this is a good way to prove how basketball is developing in an organizational way.
We have talked previously about the different stakeholders and the influence they have in the team. Can you please explain us what's the influence they have, for example, the investors and the sponsors on the direction of the team?
Well, they have a lot of influence. First, I want to talk about my experience in the United States, where it's the biggest league of the world, the NBA. And there, what happened is that the TV contracts are so big that they will be divided between the 30 teams and then it just explodes. The salaries that a team can give on a season are over $100 million. I think for this year is projected over $110 million. So the influence is very big. That it's not only possible to give better salaries to the players, also to grow the league. And then in other countries like Argentina, maybe Italy, also where I was employed, it's a matter of life or death. If the sponsors give the money to the club, they can develop, they can grow, they can invest in the youth, they can bring better players. But if the sponsors don't give the money or the sponsors decide to leave, most of the time that is a survival problem for them. As without these financial resources, they cannot even finish the season. So I think the influence of in this matter is quite big. It's quite big. Without them, you cannot do much.
So we can connect this topic with the feedback loop that we have been discussing before. So do you believe there is a feedback loop that can increase the economical financial of the teams when the teams are improving their performance?
I find that very subjective. I think it's depending which society you are in, which economical structure you are, that they can be objective in it. For example, I can give you my experience in Argentina, that it can happen that a sponsor come and invest a lot of money on the country, let's say for a period of 4 years, an Olympic circle. And in this time, you will see a very big exponential growth of the team. They will bring better players and you will be able to compete titles, national level and international levels. All this marketing, all this media attention, all this money that is bringing in between the ticket sales and everything, is going to go away probably once the sponsor decides to leave. It happened many times that a sponsor comes, invests a lot of money very aggressively for a short period of time, and then decide to move on. And the teams, after the sponsor decide to leave, they are in very difficult position because they have expectations they cannot fulfill and they cannot have a clear direction. What always happens is to say, okay, the sponsor left, we're going to develop our young teams. But what happened? All these fans and all the media are expecting you to win games, to win tournaments, and you cannot provide that. So I don't quite agree on that definition, as it can be positive examples that can justify this loop, but there are also negative examples.
So let me rephrase what you say. That means that in some cases, if a team relies on a single or just small number of investors, the decision of those can really affect, even though the team is performing really well, and that doesn't guarantee that the next season they will have all this financial stability for continuing their performance.
Exactly. I think that in this case, every euro that comes inside doesn't mean that you're going to generate 1 euro. It means that for a short period of time, you're going to get the support to achieve whatever you want to achieve. But that doesn't develop always to bring inside more money. It's much as develop on having good results for a short period of time.
So we have been talking about the investors and the sponsors. What about media? How is media influencing the performance on the team?
Well, I think we can divide this in two groups. First of all, in the biggest team, that they have a big fans base, like it can be Real Madrid, Barcelona, or Los Angeles Lakers, New York Knicks, that no matter how the team is doing, they're always on the media. The fan base is just too big and the interest is too high on these teams worldwide. So they will always have a media attention, and this media attention can develop in a negative way when the results are not going well, because everybody around the players and around the organization is going to be negative. So they can develop on that. And another way of seeing this is not how important is the media on development in the results of the team, if not how the result of the team are important in the media, because if the team is going well and the results are good, the media attention will grow. That means that more people will be interested in your team. That's why you have to see it from both point of view, on the big teams that they always have the attention, and the small teams that through the result they get that attention.
So that means that the media can be really a critical point for the small teams, right?
Yes, of course, and I can also give you my experience. And for example, in the last part of the year, I was involved in this free-on-free basketball from the Austrian national team, and we were having a Olympic qualification in Graz. So the media around us was very big, We were all there. Every platform of you can see, we were there, and which it was great for basketball, for the development of basketball. But I think in this case, our group felt a little bit of pressure. Our results were not what we wanted, and our performance was far away from what we did 2 or 3 months before. So the media can play in a good way for the financial part, but it can play in a bad way for their performance or the human part.
So let's move to another financial way, crowdfunding. Have you ever experienced anything with regard to this financial method?
I know what crowdfunding is, but I never experienced or heard anything about it regarding basketball. I've seen that when somebody, an entity, a person, or whoever it is, gives money to a basketball team, they're expecting some kind of way back of it, you know, if I'm going to give you money to your team, or you're going to have to put your name in my t-shirt, in your t-shirt, or anything that way. I don't see crowdfunding being really reliable for basketball.
So let's move into the Corona topic. We know that Corona has been a really difficult time for all sports. We would like to have your insight about the basketball league. How did this affect your training sessions, the league itself, how many tournaments or matches have you played during this period, and the comparison with previous seasons?
Corona was a very, very stressful time. Regarding my performance, I seen that there were a lot of time with uncertainty. Should I go and train or no? Are we going to play next week or no? Am I even allowed to train with my teammates or no? So it was everything very new, and I feel that sport was not really an important topic at the part of society that year that we have. So I really sometimes didn't know where I was standing. So my performance was affected for the way that sometimes I didn't have the motivation, or even though I was motivated, I didn't know for what I was training. Because the next part is that many tournaments were canceled. The Basketball Austrian League, Academia to cancel. Then the upcoming season, we didn't know if it was going to be happening or no, under which restrictions. And at that time, I decided to take part of this project with the national team from Austria, with the Free on Free. And also, it was a time that things were happening just on a daily basis. We were not planning on a monthly level or what we're going to do in the next 2 months, 3 months. We were just living through the day. I can remember that for New Year's Eve, we were supposed to go and play a tournament in Israel. That was very important to us at the moment because we needed the experience before the Olympic qualification. We bought the tickets, we packed our bags, and we were about to take off to the airport. And then they just called and say, look, we got too many Corona cases right now. The tournament got canceled. That was very, very frustrating. And in other countries, happened the same. I can talk in Argentina. The tournament got canceled immediately. And then for the upcoming season, what they did is that they put all teams together for 4 or 5 weeks, and they played like a sort of tournament in a short period of time when everybody could be under control with Corona. They were testing all the time. In the United States, was the same, how you say, project, because I don't even call it a league, that they put all the players, all the teams in Florida, and they're in the same hotel. They somehow built some training facility for each team so they have contact with their teams, and they play in two months this tournament that was supposed to replay a season. So Corona killed sport in a very aggressive way because it happened really fast and the uncertainties were too big.
So let's connect this topic with the stakeholders. How did this affect the different stakeholders like investors, sponsors, the media, and even the fans? Have you ever played without any fans on the game? How did this affect the performance of the team?
Well, I think if we see as a financial point of view that involves investors, stakeholders, and anything, it was very, very curious to see who really wants to keep supporting a team or no, because we didn't know how the economy was going to be, even though that we can say that the teams could play and everything could be sold through the internet. But these sponsors that were supposed to support the basketball teams were not having any income because most of the business were closed. So that was very, very curious. Then if we talk about media and we put together the fans that are the one carrying our product through the media, I seen that they did a great job using the social platforms. If you could see a game in EuroLeague, in NBA, they put the screens everywhere where you could see the fan faces. And they were selling these spots just to create some income. So I seen the development of the social media had a great influence how they were able to do their job. I seen that they really studied the situation and made the best out of it. I seen it was really a really good support for the team, because they could create some income and they could keep the connection to their fans, because you have to see that the fans are not allowed to buy tickets. They are not allowed to go to a photograph or autograph session. You have to do something to keep the people engaged with the team, and this was great to see. Furthermore, for myself to play on an empty gym, it was a new experience, but I tried to focus that I was in a great position still to play, because I was able to do my job. So I tried to put all this negativity of the gym being empty, no atmosphere, being, you can even call it, we having a training game, because without the extra enthusiasm of the fans, the game is different. I think I did quite well for being in that position, but I can say, seeing other teams, that they were not as motivated as they would be, because some people need the extra push that the fans give you.
So how do you think this is going to affect the industry for the future? How is COVID going to influence the development of the industry?
Well, that is a very difficult question to answer. We still don't know what is going to happen. For example, now the corona cases are rising. Many countries, it can come to a lockout in the worst case scenario, and you never know what is going to be the side effect of this, because coming to another period of uncertainty can be very negative for a sponsor. The sponsor depends a lot, as we spoke before, in private investors in the low level, let's say European basketball. And if the investors are insecure about what's going to happen, they're not going to invest their money. And seeing this also as a product, so to say, I think it's a great time to be young for a young basketball player. I think that now, as the salaries are going to drop, the other players maybe are not going to be so engaged to keep playing basketball. So the younger players are going to have an opportunity. And this development can go hand to hand with what can become a potential sponsor. As they see, okay, they're trying to develop young players. Maybe the investment of money doesn't have to be so big, but it's a good way to keep them engaged with a club or franchise. And then they can go hand to hand after these corona times to a better position maybe.
So with this, we conclude our podcast. We thank you, Fabrizio, very much for your help and your insight in the industry. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to give you my opinion on this topic.
And thank you as well to all the listeners for spending this time with us. Until the next time, Eduardo, Natasha, and Emre.